Well, a play about the Addams Family is too creepy for one mid-state school district, and a call for tougher firearms laws in Pennsylvania comes from a group of religious leaders. Welcome to The Morning Agenda, WITF's daily news podcast, where the only agenda is you, giving you what you need to know to start your day. I'm Tim Lambert, your host on this daily trip around the region's top stories. Just a quick shout out right now to our sponsor, CGA Law Firm. The firm is located in York, Hanover, and East Berlin. It provides legal services to businesses, individuals, and municipalities in South Central Pennsylvania. Details at cgalaw.com. Good morning. It's Thursday, March 16th, and this is being recorded at 9:29 a.m. Let's dive right in. So issues that have been nationalized are now finding their way down to the school board level, whether it has to do with books, whether it has to do with diversity, or whether it has to do with school plays. Now, a Lebanon County High School is looking for a new musical to perform next year because the one proposed does not align with values some board members want the district to promote. My colleague Jeremy Long brings you the story about why a classic American comedy was rejected.
The Northern Lebanon School Board has voted against a request to perform the Addams Family musical. The board debated the merits of the show and whether it aligns with the district's values. Board member Troy Williams is a pastor at Calvary Church in Lebanon. He says even though the musical sticks to the basis of the 1960s TV sitcom and is the number one school musical in the country, it's not the right fit.
However, the question at hand is this musical appropriate for the students, faculty, staff, parents, and community at large of the Northern Lebanon School District? The answer is no.
Rob Fowler, a pastor at Ono United Methodist Church, voted to allow the musical. So did Michelle Bucks.
No matter what musical we would choose, somebody somewhere is going to have discomfort with it.
The district superintendent says the school still has time to select another musical. A new group is calling for tougher gun laws in Pennsylvania. My colleague Craig Rhodes takes a look at how it's led by the religious community, in particular, the Episcopal Diocese.
They're called the Saving Lives, Ending Gun Violence Committee, and they're on a campaign to end gun violence in Pennsylvania through prayer, legislative work, and supporting those most vulnerable, the children. The Reverend Jennifer Mattson with St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Lancaster said they'll meet with state lawmakers to discuss laws they would like to see enacted.
Limiting purchases to one handgun a month to make it harder for illegal handgun trafficking to occur. An extreme risk protection order. Prohibition on the sales of assault weapons and large capacity ammunition-style magazines.
Now, the group insists it's not looking to infringe on the Second Amendment right to bear arms. Its goal, it says, is to keep guns away from people who shouldn't have them and reduce the number of firearms that are on the streets. It looks like Pennsylvania will need significantly more home health and personal care aides to care for the Commonwealth's aging population in the coming years. That's the headline from the Alzheimer's Association's annual report, which was released this week. But Sarah Bowden with our partner WESA in Pittsburgh notes the industry is already dealing with a shortage of these kind of healthcare professionals.
Low pay is part of the reason for this workforce shortage. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports that the median pay for these professionals, who provide for the physical and emotional needs of vulnerable adults, is less than $30,000 a year. The Alzheimer's Association report projects that another 40,000 of these workers will be needed in Pennsylvania by the end of the decade. Much of this demand is due to the aging baby boomer population, who will need more support as they navigate diseases such as Alzheimer's.
It's important to note the growing demand for these types of professionals runs up against an already exhausted workforce. The COVID-19 pandemic exacted an emotional and physical toll on direct care workers, which caused many to just leave the field. The report says higher pay, along with career advancement and better training, could help retain and attract people to this profession. Let's turn now to the state capitol, where a key negotiator is sharing some of his sticking points with Governor Josh Shapiro's budget proposal. My colleague Sam Dunklaw takes a look at the lawmaker's concerns.
While his party is in the minority in the House, Republican State Representative Seth Grove can influence the GOP-controlled Senate, which must approve any budget for it to take effect. And Grove says he takes issue with some of Shapiro's ideas, like 911 call center funding that increases with inflation. That's measured using the Consumer Price Index, or CPI. Grove says he and the GOP have no problem giving 911 centers more money, but
as soon as you attach a CPI to that, we're out of the mix. It just continually goes up until we have to go back and take an action to freeze it or something like that.
So the state has saved up $12 billion recently, but Grove thinks the money should be left alone. He's worried about rising prices that may make it tough for the state to pay its bills down the line. Democrats have dismissed that notion, saying any surplus money the state uses will pay dividends later. So every morning, I try to take a look at about a dozen news sites from around central Pennsylvania and pick out two or three stories just to put on your radar. So here's what you need to know today. A mid-state county could see an influx of $12.9 million from new nationwide opioid settlements. LNP reports Lancaster County commissioners have until April 18th to sign on to the settlements between Pennsylvania and several other states and five companies that either manufactured or distributed opioids. Those include CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart. The dollar amount is not final, and the payment would be spread out over 15 years. The county is also expecting to get about $16 million from a previous settlement it signed on to last year. A Cumberland County animal rescue is dealing with a massive outbreak of canine influenza. Penn Live reports at least three dogs are hospitalized and dozens of others are in pretty rough shape at Speranza Animal Rescue in Mechanicsburg. About 50 dogs have become infected. The facility brought in a rescue animal from a Philadelphia shelter last week, but was not warned that the shelter had been dealing with an outbreak itself. So Lambs Gap Animal Hospital told the media organization canine influenza is on the rise in the mid-state. The hospital says most cases are non-life-threatening and clear up in 2 to 3 weeks. And the housing market in York County is dealing with an all-time low when it comes to actual inventory. The York Dispatch reports it has less than 1 month's supply of inventory. The dip is happening right along with plummeting house sales for the month of February. Even before the COVID-19 pandemic, inventory was an issue in the county. For example, new builds are currently delayed because of supply chain complications. And as we wind things down, just want to know what was the best song you heard on your drive to work today. Reach out to me on Twitter at TLambert895. For me, it was the great alt-country band Drive-By Truckers, Gravity's Gone. That's going to do it for The Morning Agenda, a daily news podcast from WITF, where the only agenda is you. And if you like what you hear, we hope you subscribe in all the places where you find your favorite podcast, or any of the places, why not? Then rate it and let us know what you think in a review. Once again, our sponsor is CGA Law Firm, which is located in York, Hanover, and East Berlin. The firm provides legal services to businesses, individuals, and municipalities in South Central Pennsylvania. Check them out at cgalaw.com. For Joe Ulrich, who does the audio mix each and every day on The Morning Agenda, I'm Tim Lambert, your host. Tomorrow is Friday, so that's something to look forward to, along with another episode of The Morning Agenda, right? So be well, and we'll talk again tomorrow.